firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Days to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voices go out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man.
Its rising is from the end of the earth, and its circuit to the ends of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The steps of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward.
But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
We have lots of kiddos here today, and I'm so excited to do this children's moment, so can all my kids please come up here? And we're going to get real close and stay standing. Come on up. If you're in fifth grade or sixth grade, you can come too. You don't have to, but everybody's welcome. Okay, real close. Come get with me, real close. This is so fun. How's it going today, guys? Lots of you here. I'm so happy. And Jack's dancing. It's cool. Okay. How tight can we get in here? Come on. Try and get real tight. Did you know this is as close as God wants us to him? Like this, super close? Does anyone know how we get close to God? Do you have an idea, Dawson? What's something we can do to get close to God? Maybe if we pray? That might be something. What about, we're going to spread out in just a second, I promise. What about if we're nice to other people? Do you think that helps us get closer to God if we're doing good things? Yeah, for sure. Good. Okay, so what happens when we do something that isn't so good? We all make mistakes, right? Oh! Jack's got it, right. We kind of get farther and farther away from God. So come here a second, Jack. So can you guys do me a favor? Can anyone name a sin maybe that they've done? We all make mistakes sometimes. We do. I'm telling you what. This morning, earmuffs, parents. This morning, I told my husband to shut up. I did. Not so good. Well, yep. And so, yeah, I kind of, yep. So can everybody take a step that way? Because that was totally a sin, wasn't it? That wasn't very nice of me. How about you guys? Any sins that you've ever done? You got one?
I've been mean to my sister.
Oh, I've been mean to your sister. Everybody take a step back. Step back. What's another one? You got one?
I've been mean to my brother.
Yeah, we've been mean to people, right? Take a step back. Mm-hmm. Can you guys, like, go that direction down the hallway, all you guys? Perfect. Okay, Jack has one. What's a sin you've done?
I yelled at my friend, and we yelled at each other, and they yelled at me, so I yelled at them. I yelled at them, so they yelled at me.
Dang it. That's like twofold sin. Yelling, and then you yell back, and all that. So can we take, like, three steps back for that one? All right, keep going. Brighton, go on that way for me. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So see how far back you are from me right now? When we make those sins, we move farther and farther away from God, right? And sometimes, you know, sometimes we make mistakes, and that happens, right? But let me ask you this. This is kind of our sin space, right? This is all those mistakes we've made. Can anyone reach me? And I'm going to pretend I'm God. That's exciting. Okay, sorry. Can anybody reach me without touching our sin space? Oh, you're reaching. You're trying, right? You can't. You can't do it, right? What about this, though? What about this? Okay, what just happened?
You lifted him up.
I lifted him up. And you know what is so cool? You guys can all come back this way. What is so cool about God is that he gave us Jesus, right? When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "When your sins are going to be forgiven and I'm going to help you get there." So he gave us Jesus so that we can have that ability to be sorry for our mistakes and to be forgiven. But he also gave us each other. Any of you could have piggyback rode, right? Right on over? Right? Okay, maybe not Jack, but... but that's what we're all for with each other, is to help each other out by doing things like saying we're sorry and acknowledging that we've made mistakes. I was really proud of you guys for coming up with the different things you've done that were mistakes, right? And that's okay, but then we say we're sorry and we forgive each other for those mistakes, right? So can you guys bow your head and pray with me, please? We're going to do an echo prayer. If you've never been here, you just repeat what I say, okay? Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus, to help us when we make mistakes. Teach us to say we're sorry, and always forgive each other. Amen. And before you...
Firmament. Okay, the New Testament reading today is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt yield water fresh. This is God's word. This reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is God's word. You can be seated.
Thanks, Bob. So today, Lindy and I would like to tell you a little bit about a wonderful experience we had in June at the annual conference. By a show of hands, how many of you know what annual conference is? Oh, good. So today would be like a learning lesson almost. All right. So annual conference, in a nutshell, is a gathering of the United Methodist in this conference to do the business of the church. So I want to talk a little bit about what the business of the church was this time, and then Lindy's going to take you on a little bit of a journey as to some of the spiritual part of what we did. This was my first time at the annual conference, and I will tell you that I had a lot of anticipation. I was a little scared, I was a little nervous, but I was really excited. You get a packet in the mail before you go, if you're one of the delegates that gets to do some of the voting for the business of the church. And when I started to read this packet, it became quite obvious to me that the work of the church is a lot more than what I thought. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about what the work of the church was. So we followed an agenda. We had a lot of worship time, as well as conducting, voting, and talking about the business of the church. The praise and worship parts were hundreds of us gathered worshiping God, and it was an amazing time to be together. There was 2 times that we did communion together as a body of believers, which was a wonderful experience. But the nuts and bolts of it is that the church had business to get down to, and the bishop, Bishop Keaton, is the one that leads the conference in deciding what gets voted on, what doesn't get voted on, and it has to follow a certain rule of order. It's not the way that the spontaneous Kathy Jordan likes to do things. There's a very methodical way that things get done. So the overall theme was talking about bringing us together. Forgiveness and repentedness had a lot of talking with maybe the spiritual part of what we did. The business of the church has to do with voting. And for those of us that have the privilege to vote, there's a responsibility to do our homework, to read up about some of the materials that they send us, as well as networking and asking a little bit about what is going on. So I just want to highlight some of the few things. We voted on to approve budgets for various committees of the conference. It's kind of boring, but it's something that has to get done. We voted to approve changes to standing rules and the updated list of members to various committees. We acknowledged the gift of farming, which was kind of a theme for today, and our dependence on God for his gift of the earth. We voted to encourage and prayerfully pray for the people of the Caterpillar Company, because they have a presence in Israel and Palestine, which I was not aware of until that conference. We voted to eradicate modern-day slavery. We voted about health benefits and equitable compensation for clergy. We tabled discussion about clergy having internet as part of their standard package of when they're appointed to churches. There was a little bit of a heated discussion about internet, believe it or not. And a couple of things that with heavy hearts we had to vote about. One of them was the area camps. For many of you that heard me talk earlier this year, we had to vote to close some of the camps in this conference to consolidate some so that the camping ministry can continue in this conference. That was a very heated discussion that happened for several times over 2 days. It was with many people with heavy hearts that favorite camps that they grew up in got closed. We do hope for the camping ministry will continue in this conference, but it's going to look a little bit different with only 2 camps that remain out of 6. And also, probably for me, the one with the heaviest heart was we voted to close churches that are no longer able to fulfill their mission within the conference. I don't have the exact number, but I want to say there was 11. And for those of us, it's a real possibility that could happen to smaller churches. So as a voting body, it wasn't something we wanted to do, but it had to be done. So overall, it was a great conference. There was a lot of people that we saw that we knew, but a great way to network and meet people. Pastor Zach.
There were new churches.
Okay.
So they're not just closing churches, just to let everybody know. In fact, one new Methodist church just launched today in the Quad Cities in Rock Island. It's called Roots QC. And it doesn't look like any sort of church you might think of. And it's getting people from off the streets and from different walks of life. And it's really exciting what God's doing in our own conference, in our own district.
Okay. I would encourage anyone that would like to be a part of annual conference, please do so. If you can, if you have it in your time and you're able to do that, it's an experience that I promise you will not forget.
All right. The preaching at annual conference was phenomenal. I don't know how many different sermons we listened to, but they were all awesome. And our own DS, Reverend Weatherall, was amazing. And he can preach. He just makes you want to get up and, you know, shout and say hallelujah. This year's theme was healing the circle. And the scripture focus was 2 Corinthians 7 through 10, or 7:10, excuse me. Godly sadness produces a changed heart and life that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But sorrow under the influence of the world produces death. We learned about the role that we, the United Methodists, had played in the violence against and neglect of Native Americans and other indigenous people throughout history. So if you wondered why you heard that music when you came in this morning and the music during the offertory, that's why we're listening to that. But in order to be able to repent of something, we need to really understand the feelings behind the Native Americans and what went on. So we need to understand what we did, how we contributed to all that. And then after repentance, we need to think about what we plan to do from here. The entire conference was supposed to be videoed, and something went wrong, and none of it was videoed. Otherwise, I think I could have just hit a button and let you guys listen to some of it. It was really awesome. And we had probably 5 Native American pastors who spoke, either by video that they had prepared, or we actually had 2 different pastors. And their messages were powerful and impactful, so much so that after I got home, I thought I really needed to learn a lot more about our history and the United Methodists, but also just the history of the Native Americans in the United States. And I've been reading a book called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and it's an Indian history of the American West. And it's a great book, and I would encourage you to read that. But I will warn you, it is gut-wrenching. I'm going to give you just little bits and pieces of the messages that we heard, and then I'm going to give you some historical background. And when I refer to we throughout this message, I'm speaking about we as the United Methodist Church and we as people of the United States. Because just as generations of Native Americans bear the scars of their ancestors, we too bear the burden of our choices. But it's time to change, and we start today, and it can only happen by bearing all of it before Jesus Christ, the only one who can set us free forever. So we're going to go way back. So the Native Americans were here first. We probably all got that. And, you know, we came over, crossed the water, started planting our place on the East Coast of the United States. And as we grew in number, we started encroaching on their land. And we looked down upon the Native Americans. We thought we were superior. As more white people began to populate the eastern part of the U.S., we pushed them further west. In the 1830s, Andrew Jackson decided all Indians should be west of the Mississippi. The Sauk and Fox tribe lived right in this area. They were forced to cross the river, but they came back to harvest their crops. But they were massacred after they came back. And that first battle was what became called the Black Hawk War. 1835 to 1838, the Potawatomi were forced to sign a treaty and were moved from Indiana to Kansas. And they marched right through the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. They traveled 660 miles in 61 days. There were three different marches, and in that first march, there were over 40 that died, and most of them were children. It became known as the Trail of Death. And I guess there are actually markers all along the way that you can find. They traveled through Knoxville. There are some that went down the Knox Trail Road. We heard stories of Native American children being taken from their families at early age, like four, and they were stripped of their heritage. They were put in Methodist boarding schools to basically take the Indian out of them. They weren't allowed to speak their native tongue, and they were forced to get their hair cut. Now, for most people, we probably don't even think about the significance of them being forced to get their hair cut. But Native Americans didn't cut their hair unless someone died. So these children were taken from their parents, they were put into this home, not allowed to speak their native language, and then on top of that, they thought they had a family member who had died. Sometimes they were sent back to their families around age 10, but they couldn't even communicate with their family. They were strangers. Forcing the Native Americans away from their homeland was bigger than I ever knew. They believe God placed them in that very place. They are connected to the land and all its creatures. The Creator created everything, and they feel that they're related to everything. They are family. When they're taken away, they are taken away from their family. The land, the animals, their ancestors' burial grounds, it was horrible for them. Their identity was from where their Creator placed them. And time after time, the white people made promises, and time after time, we broke it. We destroyed their lives, livelihood, homes, crops, food, and supplies. We stole their ponies. And in 1864, there was a massacre of 168 unarmed Cheyenne and Arapaho Indians near Sand Creek, Colorado. Sand Creek stands as a symbol of a violent past to Methodists because John Shivington, who led the raid, was an ordained Methodist pastor and local army officer. His superior, who approved the raid, was also Methodist. The Native Americans have been treated as if they're not human. One of the speakers that did a video, Reverend Dan Liebarger, is a retired Methodist pastor of Native American descent. He told of how during the Civil War, the United States government considered African Americans 3/5 human, but Native Americans were not considered human at all. He says that he believes that it was easy to massacre the Indians because people didn't have to feel guilty because they weren't even considered human. Reverend Gary Billiott, a Native American United Methodist pastor, said in the 1940s, Native Americans were still considered savages and weren't given an education. They were denied an education. They weren't allowed to speak their native language. They were denied their heritage. And without their heritage, they were no one. He said in 1978, a federal law was finally repealed. It said that Native American women who went to have a baby were told that the baby had died and they were given ashes, and the baby was adopted out to white families. Every treaty that the white people signed with the Native Americans has been broken. We thought our right to that land trumped their right to the land. Reverend Danira Parra, and I may not be saying that right, she is of Native American descent, and she pastors the Dayspring Church right in East Peoria. She said, in Illinois, there are over 100,000 Native Americans, yet do we really know about it? And does anybody really care? and most of them probably actually hide their heritage, as she did when she was growing up. She said the church is good about going into third world countries and sharing the gospel and ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. But we have our own third world countries right here in the United States, and they're called reservations. One thing that one of the pastors talked about at conference, he said we've got to be really careful about hurtful words. Now, I'll admit, I never understood what the real big deal was about naming, you know, teams after Native Americans. I guess I just always thought it wasn't really a big deal. It didn't seem like it was a derogatory thing to me. And why do you think I thought that? Because I didn't really know or understand their history. You've probably heard the quote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And I never really understood what we did to the Native Americans. I mean, I knew, you know, we'd taken their land from them and that we treated them badly, but I didn't really understand it. And it was so long ago. Surely we've changed. Well, first, it wasn't really so long ago. And some of that discrimination still happens today. Reverend Parra said that it can take several hundred years to heal such atrocities. Now back to those hurtful words. Anybody ever heard of the Washington Redskins? Well, I kind of wondered, you know, I thought that was probably because, you know, their Native American skin could be kind of a reddish. Well, the United States government paid for Native American scalps. There were three different prices. There was one for the male, there was one for the female, and there was one for a child. That right there woke me up. The male scalp brought the highest price. So to differentiate, they painted the male scalps red. And that's where the word redskin came from. So naming a football team the Redskins doesn't really honor our Native American brothers and sisters. It hurts them deeply, and we need to use healing words. I am a purposeful being created in the image of God. I am. We as the United Methodist Church must repent those atrocities perpetrated on our brothers and sisters in Christ. We right now are the connecting link between the saints before us and the saints to follow. What we do here and now will make a difference for generations to come. That goes not just for the wrong done to Native Americans, but also the wrongs we've all done in our lives. We all need forgiveness. I need it. I was totally ignorant, and ignorance is no excuse. I've learned, and today I'm sharing what I've learned. To repent is to feel a deep sorrow for something you've done wrong, and then you have to turn away from it. And then next comes atonement. To do something good as a way to show you're sorry for the bad. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the atonement for our sins. What can we do as an atonement for what we've done for generations to the Native Americans? Reverend Parra says we could adopt a United Methodist Native American ministry, develop relationships with the Native American communities, experience their culture and heritage, go to a reservation. Listen with your whole heart. Be sincere and do not continue with the breaking of promises. Enter into their world. If you're outside looking in, you'll make judgments. She wants us to be proud of the Dayspring Church in East Peoria and call them one of our churches. And I would love to have someone from there come speak, and I would love to go visit there sometime. The theme for annual conference was healing the circle. Reverend Parra said, you cannot be Native American by yourself. It takes a community to practice your ceremonies, to practice the different ways of life. We do it in a circle. You can't be in a circle by yourself. It takes other people being there. The more people, the stronger the circle. Because no matter who walks in that circle, we walk together. We work together, we fall together, but we also help each other get up. We do that all together. So today, you were given a piece of paper when you came in, besides a bulletin. We're going to form a circle around this sanctuary. Jesus Christ is in the center of that circle. For wherever two or more are gathered, he's there. In this circle, there's only truth. In this circle, there's forgiveness. And in this circle, there's healing. So we're going to stand, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to read this litany. This was one that we did in the Acts of Repentance service that we did. And we're going to be facing different directions for those who are challenged with directions. North, south, east, west. And then after we're all done with this, we're going to sing a song and then have the benediction. So if you all will stand up and circle the sanctuary, we're going to get a little exercise here. Most merciful God, we confess to you before the whole company of heaven and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. Like the ground which opened its mouth to receive the righteous blood of Abel and then cried out for justice, so the earth, waters, and sky cry out in condemnation of our sin. Forgive, we pray, but do not stop there. Transform us as well. Give us a new heart and a new mind, and change how we treat each other, especially the first inhabitants of this land. We cannot change the past, but with your guidance and strength, we can remold the present into a better future. We come before you as broken sinners. Amen. Okay. The Maker has formed us from the substance of the earth and has given us breath.
We are all related to the earth as we are to our mothers. We are held in the arms of the earth. We owe the earth the love and respect of mother.
The Creator has made us to be a people. Our lives are held by our family. Our family is the people. This is who we know ourselves to be. We must live in oneness with all. We have not always lived life well. There is a deadness like the ashes we wear on the day that on the day when we remember our mortality, our human frailty.
We have thought more of ourselves than of others. We have taken more than we have given. There is destruction. There is waste. We are covered with the ashes of our past. We truly repent and are deeply sorry for what we have done or left undone.
We face the center, reminding ourselves that it is Christ who is able to bring healing and salvation and who, by his Spirit, is able to renew this family and the earth from which it is made.
Remind us, O God, to cry out to you always, to heal us and make us whole.
Okay, everyone face to the east, back to the back of the sanctuary. From the east, the direction of the rising sun, comes wisdom and knowledge.
Enable us, O God, to be wise in your house of the resources of the earth, sharing them in justice, always with thankfulness.
Everyone face south, please. From the south comes guidance and the beginning and end of life.
May we walk good paths, O God, living as brothers and sisters should, rejoicing in one another's blessings, sympathizing in one another's sorrows, and always working to renew our spiritual bonds through you.
Face west. From the west come purifying waters. Let us pray that the Spirit of God may again breathe over these waters.
We pray that we too may be purified so that life may be sustained and nurtured over the entire face of the earth.
Face north, please. From the north come purifying winds. O God, you have been called breath and the wind of life.
May air we breathe be purified so that life may be sustained and nurtured over the entire face of the earth.
Now all face center. We pray for restoration and reconciliation. May the earth no longer be visible as we use its bounty to sustain our lives. May the first people of this land no longer be hidden away, but be brought to the place of honor and dignity all God's people deserve.
We face the wholeness of life around the circle of the four directions. We look downward to the substance from which we are formed. We look upward to the one who gives us the spirit of life. We look inward at our weakness and shame, and we lift our prayers to the only one who can heal us and make us whole.
We rejoice in God's faithfulness to us. We leave this circle to truly walk the circle of life with love and peace.
In case you're not...
God, that we have prepared, that you have prepared a way in all generations, the truth and life in Christ Jesus. We thank you, God, that you created the earth and declared it good. You told Moses that he walked on holy ground. Your son, Jesus, called the earth his home. We thank you that we need not be strangers to the earth. We thank you, God, that you have adopted us as your sons and daughters and joined us together as a family through your son, Jesus. We thank you, O God, that we can dare to be honest about who we have been. We thank you, God, that Jesus prayed for us, Father, forgive them. We pray, O God, that by working with your Spirit, we may witness healing when the circle of life has been broken. As do we, remembering Jesus' words, I have come that you may have life abundantly. We thank you, God. Amen.